When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Down to Biscayne. Yay. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Rain bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor Live. I'm your host, Greg Sylvander. I reluctantly come to you directly following the Miami Heat's loss at home to the Boston Celtics. Tonight's floor plan with me, Sean Rochester, the coach, you know him, Brian Fonseca as well. We are going to recap Game 3 of what was a lackluster effort for the Miami Heat. Was ultimately a disappointing day when you hoped that the team maybe would have stepped up and had a little bit of a different level of decisiveness and sharpness and a disposition that just was not there from jump. We shall get into all that. Want to shout out Off the Floor. That is our Discord server. $2.99 a month, $3.99 if you're on Apple devices. From desktop, it's $2.99. You need to check this out. This is where all the latest Heat talk is happening. You can get off of all the other social media apps, do it all in one place, 10 different channels. This is where you need to check it out, Off the Floor. Make sure you subscribe, $2.99 a month. Also, one more thing. We have a special new partnership, and I am a user of these products, and that's Harry's Razors. See all their best sellers there. Go to Harry's Razors. Use the code 5. That will get you taken care of. You need to go to Harry's Razors. They'll get you a deal on what you're buying. I think there's free shipping included. Harry's Razors. Use the code 5. All right. Now, let's dive into some of this. Because it seemed like Boston's primary adjustments was to switch everything. And the Heat got stifled by it. Tyler Herro got stifled by it. The ball movement was really non-existent. You had Bam do some individual things early, but it did not translate throughout the game. And then the avalanche of threes came for Boston. And there we were. Sean, I'll start with you here. Your initial reactions to the game and your thoughts on what Boston did to adjust after game 2.
Yeah, we talked a little bit pre-show about, the first quarter obviously was stuck in the mud for both teams, 21-12. They almost moved it to NBA TV. I feel like, at any moment they could have done that. But I felt confident, like not confident in a way that I was like, I know we're going to win this game, but like I was comfortable with the way the game was going. But starting with the second quarter, it really didn't matter after that. And I think we jokingly were kind of like, we could start the post game show early because look, we gave up 21 in the first, 42 in the second quarter. Now we scored 27, which is our highest quarter too, but 42 in the second quarter, we gave up 41 the rest of the way in the third and fourth quarters. That's just not what we can do at this point. Like we cannot allow 42 point quarters and expect to win. And it was a variety of things. I'm sure we'll get into the different details of what changed, but I think they adjusted. Now it's our turn going into game 4 to adjust to their adjustments and see what we can do because it's 2-1. You just have to get another game. and then you play a best of three, and you know, maybe you have a chance.
Brian, does this come down to that the Heat just need to make more shots like that? That's the only way they're going to beat this team is to shoot above their head, or do you see another path for them to square up to this team in a game other than one where they hit a franchise record for threes in game two?
Well, the Celtics shot 30% from three today, so they didn't even shoot the ball well. The Heat actually shot better from three today, 32%. They made fewer. Celtics 11-9 advantage there, and the Heat also could not score twos to save their life. But boy, were they shooting them. 42% from the field overall from two, not great. But, you know, it is what it is. My recap of this game is basically number one seed beats number eight seed without best and third best player on the number eight seed team. And that's kind of what it looked like to me. I mean, the defense did okay. I mean, the Celtics clearly like countered, and the worrisome thing in this game in particular was Boston won the effort battle, which if Miami's going to have any chance to not win the series, because I don't think they're going to win the series without Jimmy and Terry, but get another game in this series, you cannot lose the effort battle, because you're going to lose the talent battle without Jimmy and Terry. And some would say even with Jimmy and Terry, you're probably going to lose that battle. To me, Boston just rotated cleaner on defense. Didn't let Miami get the same open looks from three, because it wasn't just Miami bombing away for the sake of bombing away, even though it felt like that to a lot of people. And that was a lot of the analysis. It was that they played a lot of just taking what the defense can give you in game two. And they got open threes because Boston kept giving it to them and were not rotating properly, and we're allowing guys to get comfortable in wide open looks. You saw a lot less of that in this game. The Celtics were forcing Tyler Hero to drive the ball. They were not letting him get to this dribble pull up. They were not letting him be a playmaker, sending two at him so that he could find the open man. They were playing him to drive, and he made mistakes. And he wasn't finishing because, as I've documented here and elsewhere, he doesn't really get to the free throw line a lot. That's a problem, because when you do force him to drive, you know that he's generally not going to attack the basket or do so effectively. And the other element of this is just the effort battle. Like I said, guys like Derek White, he was a problem for them. And he's somebody who, like, the stat sheet is not going to reflect it. He was a pain in the ass. Loose balls.
Big time.
Like, he was somebody who was great in this game. So I sprinkled on Miami to potentially get the upset here, knowing that they were probably going to lose this game. I think if they were going to win any of the home games, it'd most likely be the next one. But they're also the worst team in the NBA this season as a home underdog. So we'll see if that even happens.
I want to shout out Corbs for the $4.99 donation here. I'm extremely confused why we tried to play zone against this team, is his comment. I feel you. It kind of gets Boston into their offense. It kind of, I feel like, sets them up to get in their comfort zone. And what we did in game two was kind of the opposite of that, right? It was kind of funneling all of the offense through two guys, not letting them get the ball on the string. Sean, why do they go to zone? Is it just I tend to think that this is just, suppose, running out of bodies. He was playing 6 to 7, 6.5, we'll say. And so I feel like that's probably why he's having to go to zone. It's almost like the only resort thing he can resort to. Excuse me. What is your thoughts on them playing zone against this Boston team?
Yeah, I mean, initially in the first half, the zone minutes, I think, were just the Kevin Love minutes for the most part. And I'm not necessarily sure why, because I think Kevin Love, we all agree, he's part of some of our better lineups. Like, he does good things against certain matchups. Why can't he play man-to-man against Al Horford? Because he can get put in switches. I understand that part about his foot speed, but, like, to have to say, all right, well, if we can't play zone, we can't play Kevin, now you're already cutting another person out of your rotation, not due to injury, but due to inability or unwillingness to play him. I don't think you need to play man otherwise, because I don't think you're necessarily hiding people. But like you said, against this team, there's a reason why they didn't play zone against them in the regular season. Boston's just too good. The reads are just too easy. It's 1-2 pass, and it's a wide open three. Or the rebounding, especially in the first half with the effort, was getting overwhelmed, people getting offensive rebounds, things like that. And, you know, I think Spo's going to have an adjustment. But I think to your point, there's only so many things he can try. You know, like bag of tricks is only so deep. And this team is very good. We just have, we all understand that. I hope we all understand that. And, you know, the adjustments, I think I said pre-game or pre-series, sometimes when you adjust, it backfires, right? Like you try to play your zone and it makes it worse than if you would have just played your man. Your way of changing things sometimes doesn't work. And so I don't necessarily blame Spo, but I think he has to be creative in whatever he's going to do for Monday.
If we are going to find a positive in tonight, it is the Rock Esports Gamer of the Night. Let's get to it.
And now on Five on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500-square-foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all-day passes available for just $25, but if you mention Five Reasons, it's just $20. So mention Five Reasons or 5RSN, you get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
So, Brian, I'm going to lob this to you because you summed it up in our text chain really well. The one bright spot for us was Nico Jovic. Bam played well at times too, but Nico was the bright spot. If we are going to find one, talk about his game.
Nikola Jovic tried hard, my man. That's what I can say about the game. No, for real. Like he pushed the pace. He was trying to do things on offense. He was hitting his shots early. We saw some measure of creativity offensively, and you saw a little bit, the assist won't reflect this, but you saw a little bit of the playmaking, you know, at times. If other guys could hit shots, he may have some more assists. And on defense, he was decent. I didn't feel like this was a great Bam game. Cosmetically, it will look like that, like on the stat sheet, that it was a solid effort. But he scored on Kristaps Porzingis very early in the game, said, he can't fucking guard me multiple times. I read his lips, and that's exactly what he said. He can't fucking guard me. And I don't know if he scored on Kristaps Porzingis again until the fourth quarter, where there was a missed dunk that ended up going in, and it was an and one. And his activity and defense and all those things, like, yes, he was part of the reason the Celtics didn't go crazy, but also the Celtics just kind of miss some threes that they normally make throughout the course of the year. So yeah, I was encouraged watching Nikola Jovic. He looked like a player. He looked like somebody who, and we've seen this in flashes throughout the year, but he looked like somebody who's not particularly scared of these moments. And it's not to say like he's going to be great or an all-star or any of these type of things. I've said before, like, his ceiling is probably somewhere between Danilo Gallinari and Hito Turkoglu, maybe more toward the latter. And something that Stan Van Gundy actually said, to which I might sue him for that, because it's like, yo, bro, like,
that's been your take.
You know what I mean? Like, nah, I'm kidding. Stan Van Gundy can have that if he wants. He just, you know, credit for me for that.
Coming out Five on the Floor soon too, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So let him know. Let him know. Like, I'm gonna get some lawyers in my corner for that. No, but for real, I thought Nikola Jovic was really good. And second was probably Haywood Highsmith, because again, talk about providing a spark. Haywood Highsmith was actually their best offensive creator in like the first quarter of the game, which was crazy to see. First or second quarter, first half, whatever it was. And also held up defensively, but not a great game for the Heat stars. And, you know, obviously Jimmy Butler said that they were going to win the game, which we kind of knew. Like, Jimmy could just say whatever he wants. He's in a great house money position where the things he says doesn't really matter until they do. So whatever.
What do we think of Tyler Hero's game, Sean? I thought that he was pressing a bit and tried to do a little too much at times, just didn't have the shot going, but he's also at a disadvantage here. They are honing in on him at every opportunity. They're not making it easy. This is a tough matchup. But he didn't have a great night. What were your thoughts on Tyler Hero's game?
Yeah, two things. And I said this morning. I thought the adjustment, not just for Tyler, but for the Heat, was going to be that Boston would come up in the backcourt pressure. And at the very minimum, it was going to burn 6 to 8 seconds off the shot clock in a team that's already struggling in the half court offense. So now you only have 16, 17 seconds. Obviously a problem. We had a lot of turnovers in the first half, a lot of unforced turnovers and just weird plays. And it really bothered Tyler. And we know that, you know, first of all, it's not a great matchup, but, you know, 15 points, okay. Not enough, but okay. Not great shooting, 5 of 16, 33% from behind the arc, only 2 free throws, and only 2 assists. That's the big thing that's different from last time, is the assist numbers just were not there. You know, I don't think it's an unwillingness. I think there's missed shots. There is the way that Boston guarded. It just seemed like not just Tyler, but as a whole, the process of getting to shots, you're looking at cleaning the glass. 35% of our shots came from behind the arc. Last game, that was around 50-ish. And this game, 52% in the mid-range. You're just not going to win the math equation, I don't think. Like Brian referenced earlier, they didn't even shoot the ball well. Like, talking about Boston, they shot, what, 30-something percent?
Yeah.
From behind the arc, 30%. We shot better from behind flat. The arc earlier. Like, that's crazy. Like, you cannot beat them by shooting mid-range shots. I just – if you never shot anything besides at the rim, free throws, and threes, cool. That's what I almost feel like you have to have in the series. And that's partly on Tyler, but it's an everyone problem that we have to solve.
Yeah, credit to Boston's defense, but this did have something to do with how Miami approached offense and got to their spots. And it was just not as deliberate and not as decisive as it was in game two. I don't know which play we're going to pick, but who cares? We're still going to figure out which one of these is the aggressive Insurance by Lynette play of the night.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette play of the night, sponsored by insurancebylynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or insurancebylynette.com. That's insurancebylynette.com with 2 N's and 2 T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at insurancebylynette.com. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the weight and handle. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So what y'all got? Because I can't remember a play that I loved from the Heat. Brian, you got one for us?
Tyler Hero throwing the ball at Sam Hauser's legs.
That's a good one.
He didn't throw it at him. He rolled it at him.
That's a great one.
That's all I got. Like, is it a Jaime Jaquez turnaround jumper? You know what I mean? Like, I don't have much here in terms of play of the game. You know, I could probably find a Celtics one for you, but I know you don't want to do that. So,
yeah. No, I definitely would rather focus on it getting chippy between these two groups. I can't stand Peyton Pritchard. Let me just go ahead and say that. He just annoys me.
Greg, I've told you this. White ballers hate other white ballers. I'm telling you, bro. It's so true. Like, y'all know this.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the rivalry starting tonight. Tyler needs to step up there. So where do you go from here, Sean? Game four, what do you think will be the most, if you had to try to predict one adjustment from Spo, what do you think it would be?
I mean, I just mentioned the shot diet, trying to lean into threes, lean into getting to the rim and getting to the free throw line. Defensively, I think he probably shelved the zone almost exclusively. I still think you can 2-2-1 press on makes, on dead balls, on free throws, try to run some clock. Maybe you force some bad decisions, but then switch into your man out of that. That probably means that you can't play Love a lot, not because of the press, but like you have to be very switchable because you're going to get scrambling around in your matchups. I mean, look, there's not a lot of good answers.
It's true. I gave you a tough question.
I mean, I don't know. Like, you got to hope that they shoot it poorly. You shoot it well. Hopefully, maybe you get Rozier back. The only other thing that I'll add, and I said this on the timeline, I applaud, I think we all applaud Duncan Robinson for toughing it out and going out there for three games. Duncan, give him a back ice pack or a heating pad, whatever he needs, he's done. Like, give him a break. Put Patty in those minutes, see if he can get hot, not just because of what happened tonight, but, like, Duncan is not effective. And, again, I don't fault him for that because he's out there playing injured. But it's just not fair. You got to have your best opportunity. And right now, Duncan is not providing that.
I agree that they need to lean away from Duncan Robinson, which is tough to say, but he's just not effective enough right now. You got to go to other guys. If that means that other guys get more minutes and it's not Patty Mills, fine. Maybe DeLon is back so you can sink some minutes back over towards him. We'll get into the injury report here in a second, but to me, you're right. Duncan Robinson, that's a major adjustment to me. And that sucks that we've got to a place where he's kind of I'm reading the comment here and stopping midstream. Thank you for the shout out from some random Celtics fan that came up in here.
He's respectful.
Yeah, he was respectful. He said, okay, my Celtics pod is starting. You all do good work here for our audio only listeners. So we don't usually get comments that are compliments from Celtics fans. So that's why it kind of bewildered me there mid-sentence. Let's go to the Eric Rubenstein injury report.
And now it's time for the official Five on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan. But the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
Well, we hope Terry Rozier comes back because he would give a major lift to what they're trying to do right now when they're running out of offensive options. But I'm not expecting him back for game four, just too soon. Duncan Robinson, like we talked about, we probably think should play less. Kevin Love will likely play less, not because of injury, but just due to matchups. So interesting to watch what they'll do there. They're basically playing 6.5 players. So they're down to the bare bones minimum of a roster. And they could really use Terry Rozier back, Jimmy Butler, and Josh Richardson remain out. That is really the wrap, folks. The Miami Heat lose at home. It is a tough one, but we kind of had to expect this. They got one. If they get two, that's kind of being greedy to me. I didn't expect to come into this series getting ahead of Boston 2-1. 2-2 would be huge. So let's just focus in on getting that next game. Final thoughts from either of you two, if you got any, give them to me.
Yeah, just in terms of adjustments for game four, I think, and people don't want to hear this because like it just sounds overly nerdy, and I don't consider myself like that level of nerd, but yeah, you kind of have to bend the math equation to your favor a little bit. Like you have to shoot more threes if you just don't have the firepower to keep up with this team. Yeah, 50% or more, honestly, of your shots just have to come from three. You have to jack a lot of threes, and you have to, like you did in game two, figure out ways to limit Boston from attempting so many threes where they baited them into isolation mid-range offense by being like, all right, Tatum and Brown, you try to beat us. We're not going to let the other guys beat us. Like that's basically what they did. And, you know, Kristaps Porzingis wasn't able to get off. Derek White was mostly a non-factor. I don't even remember what Jrue Holiday did in that game. And you basically baited Jaylen Brown into sort of the worst version of himself where it's like, oh man, I could go win this game. I'm going to go get 30, whatever. And, you know, he had a big game statistically, but it didn't matter because Boston didn't win the math equation, didn't shoot well from three, which has been their whole, that's been their steez all season long, is we're going to bomb away from three. So, and a big part of why the Heat went on their run that they did last year was because they actually got hot from three in the playoffs in the first and third round, not against the Knicks series. And they didn't need to because the Knicks weren't great. But you know, that was part of it because they shot 40% or higher in the first round and in the third round, going back to what they were doing all regular season the year before for people who think that's a fluke. So yeah, I think they just need to figure out ways to create open looks from three, not shooting it for the sake of shooting it, but spread the ball around, find guys in the corners, find the above the break three and actually make like a good percentage of those. And then you give yourself a chance.
I definitely agree with that strategy. It's going to be threes and dunks, threes and dunks. That's basically all you can lean into. We'll see if the Miami Heat can get anything done. Definitely check out Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. That'll get you $20 of free play. We'll find out what that opening line is for game four. I bet you that it is going to be over 10.
It's over 10. 10.5 opening line. Celtics minus 10.5.
The Miami Heat are 0-10 as a home underdog. I think 0-11 now, including this game. Win-loss. And they're like 1-9 or now 1-10 against the spread as a home underdog. They're the worst home underdog in the league this year. So there's that.
So there's some great news as we head into the final.
We have enough.
We have enough. Yes. Thank you.
But they're excellent on the road against the spread. Best in the Eastern Conference on the road against the spread in general and as an underdog. So, and they will just be an underdog for game five.
So just got to get back to Boston, and that they will do because a game five will happen. So thank you all for joining us. We appreciate our sponsors, Sean, Brian. Thank you for your time. And we will have you covered for game four when it comes. Peace out.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.